never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Hello and welcome to the 60 Seconds Gnome Podcast. And all four of us are again. It's a good week. And it's actually sunny in Dublin, which is
And you've brought
really
us indoors.
Odd. And I brought you indoors, exactly. Well, yeah. That's because outdoors is noisy and full of scary people.
That's true.
This is true.
Yeah.
People, this is your life lesson. Don't ever leave your house.
Yeah. Cinemas are air-conditioned, though.
Cinemas are air-conditioned. Also,
and dark.
Yeah, and a nice place to be.
And you're not looking at other people. You're looking away from other people.
And also,
they're the best place in the world.
And if you go to the right films, you won't have too many people there anyway.
Pubs are also good, because you don't have to converse with other people if you don't wish. You can stay looking into the contents of your glass.
We do not condone alcoholism. Yeah.
Corners are also good.
Yeah,
this is going to be a sad podcast.
Stay indoors and watch film.
This is the Tom Waits podcast.
I like how we started with it's bright and sunny outside and just went from there.
Yeah,
you guys bringing me down as per usual.
Yay!
Job done. Let's go home.
We'll start with Darren. What have you been watching, Darren?
Very light week in rewatching stuff. So
Selma. 12 films.
Yeah, 12 films. Lots of new stuff. So we'll talk about that when we get the top 10 and the new releases. Yeah. But Ooh. Selma. Rewatch Selma at the weekend, and it's
how does Patty feel about that now?
Simpsons gag.
Thank you for the context.
Yeah. In case anybody listening to a podcast on the internet is not familiar with
it. Nobody watches The Simpsons anymore, so we forgot by a generation.
Actually,
I do.
Is it terrifying to think that kids these days, that at some stage in like the next 5 years or so, you'll be able to make Simpsons gags to people and they won't have a frame of reference for them?
Mm-hmm.
That terrifies me.
It does. I'm getting old.
I still watch The Simpsons. Just
periodically. Like, I mean, I think there was a good one about 5 years ago.
Okay.
The Debarting.
That was the rumor.
Yeah. That one's actually very good.
I really like The Debarting.
Yeah.
But that's like 6 years ago now?
Oh, okay.
Okay. But anyway, sorry. So I watched Selma.
But there is a more recent good one.
Okay.
One more Werner Herzog turns up.
Which one's
that?
That
is good. Yeah. Automatically, that's good.
Yeah, no, but it's the Charlie in the Chocolate Factory ripoff. Werner Herzog essentially runs the Chocolate Factory. Except he turns out that he's actually Augustus Gloop.
Why on earth is everybody yellow?
Yeah, yes, I am Gloop.
There's the happy ending to Charlie in the Chocolate Factory that we really needed. I was rooting for Gloop.
Hang on, you just said happy ending and Gloop.
Yeah, but Charlie,
I'm trying to come up with a gag.
Charlie and Chocolate Factory had a happy ending.
Did it? Do you really think that kid can run a chocolate factory?
That insane weirdo can run a chocolate factory.
I'm pretty sure that there were a bunch of lawyers off screen, you know?
That kid looked ill. I doubt we'd be laughing for 12 months, quite frankly. I don't Charlie.
He came from an impoverished background. Yeah. Now he'll get all the chocolate he wants.
Given for his productivity for eating that much chocolate, he's going to die of type 2 diabetes fairly quickly. Yeah.
If the board of directors doesn't chase him out now, there's the Charlie in the Chocolate Factory sequel that you really need.
When somehow Richard Gere's character from Pretty Woman comes in and does a corporate takeover.
This is a shared universe I do not want to be part of. How did we get from Selma to this?
I have no idea.
I love tangents. I really love tangents. Oh,
really? I hadn't noticed.
Harsh. Anyway.
But fair.
But not unreasonable. So I rewatched Selma at the weekend. It's
good.
To get back to the conversation
like
we got about like 2.5 minutes ago. Mm. It's good. It's grand. It's I think it's a very good Oscar prestige picture.
It would have been better if they could actually use the proper text if Spielberg didn't sit on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't suffer for it, though.
It is missing it, though.
Yeah, but you have fine direction by Ava DuVernay and a great performance by David Oyelowo.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. He is. Really is.
Why is everyone in it British?
Because they're just better actors.
Yeah.
There we go.
Come
casual racism.
The internet.
Yeah, casual racism.
And besides, we all wanted to hear Tim Roth's Foghorn Leghorn impression, didn't we?
Yeah. I like that Tim Roth is now free from, was it Lie to Me or whatever, and now can get back to actually appearing in stuff people want to watch.
Like United Passions and Grace of Monaco, I suppose.
Fair point.
Incredible Hulk.
Hey, we watched Grace of Monaco. We were okay.
Yeah, we were there. You were there, man. You were there.
I'm so thankful.
But yes, I mean,
it's a dreadful film.
It is. Oh, did you watch it?
I watched it. Yes, it is awful.
Okay. Oh, we're gonna talk about this in Niles' section.
We're not.
Yes. I want to hear all about it.
No, we're not.
Talking about it is the first step.
Yeah, it is true.
Okay. But no, what I really liked about Selma is the fact that it's, it sort of focuses on the idea that social movements are not necessarily harmonious, sort of, unified movements, that there are sort of that complex social groups and so change, and that comes through sort of groups that tend to fracture and groups that have disagreements of discord. And there's a tendency to sort of to brush over history and present it as sort of a single unified moment that's pushing us, whatever.
Simplifying it for a time generally.
Yeah, and
but
I think
this isn't a bad thing, though. I mean, it gets to the point. And yeah. Also, what I liked about Selma as well is it's not a King biopic.
No.
But
no.
At the same time, it portrays him as a far more interesting and complicated character
than
any biopic would.
As well, which
exactly.
Is interesting.
It hits on a whole host of interesting stuff. Yeah, like, even the stuff that the FBI was sending to him, the letters, which are terrifying. Like, they're really, really weird, threatening letters. They're like somebody's idea of a threatening letter.
Yeah. Yeah. It even uses their notes and their dates and times as a reference, instead of, say, actual dates and times. It has their...
Yeah.
They're monitoring of him on the screen.
Which is a great way to frame it.
It is.
Yeah.
So you also have, I mean, because he wasn't, while he was a leader at the moment, he wasn't the only leader at that particular moment.
And that's why I'm putting it into such a small time period kind of emphasizes
that.
Allows room
for
that.
So you can have stuff like, you can have Malcolm X passing through, you can have the conflict with like the local student group.
You can have all the Black Panther type radical elements as well.
Yeah, and you can have this discussion about how like real politics sort of happens, in that like the reason that Martin Luther King managed to do a lot of what he did was because he was able to bring together people under the tent and could deal with the establishment in a way that X couldn't.
Yeah.
And so other than that, I watched... Oh, Run All Night was the Mooney
Jesus
family
from
movie.
The other end of the spectrum,
this is
it?
Yeah, this is from the other end of the spectrum. It's not the worst Liam Neeson action film.
But it's certainly not the best.
It's certainly not the best.
It's okay, actually. I didn't mind it, but I almost forgot this. It was like
I liked the cast.
Yeah.
Really, Joel Kinnaman?
I like Joel Kinnaman.
Really,
I don't think
presence.
I liked them in the Killing of the TV.
Yeah, he's,
thing.
Good
he's very
TV.
Good in it.
Yeah.
They haven't quite utilized them in film yet, really.
Yeah, like, I think.
But
he's
a good
actor. Which is really odd because his accent is impeccable. His accent is amazing in it. He's blander than butter.
It's not much of a role though.
No, it's your job to be the thing that Liam Neeson is tethered to.
He's the center of the movie.
Yeah, but Liam Neeson is
he is this film's Maggie Grace.
Yes, I suppose so. But with the downside of him actually being on screen more than
with
Maggie Grace is.
And the one film that he's got to lead.
It's RoboCop.
Yeah, exactly, is where half of it,
and
he has no personality.
The problem with RoboCop
half
as well is that he stands beside Michael K. Williams, and all you're thinking is, why isn't Michael K. Williams RoboCop on the list of this?
Oh, and also, Michael Keaton.
And Jennifer L. Like, everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
However terrible RoboCop turned out to be, it turned out to be pretty terrible.
It really did.
It had a fantastic supporting cast. Like, even Jay Baruchel was not, like, terrible.
I didn't want to kill him in it. So
yeah,
that's a real
There are a couple of films like that where I don't want to kill Jay Baruchel.
Goon.
It's quite a scary thing.
Goon was great.
Like,
he wrote that, didn't he?
I don't get the love for Goon. It's just another generic nonsense film. I don't get it.
The generic nonsense film?
It's like, I don't understand why this is being singled out for praise, where you get a fucking whole host of films that do exactly, for all intents and purposes, the same thing that just get ignored.
I think because it came in... Well, because it was ignored and it shouldn't have been
It
ignored.
Should have been. It's
not brilliant.
No, but it's better than the attention it got, which is why
God,
why people bring it up in conversation.
It's about average. It got about as much attention as it deserved, in my humble opinion.
All right, take that, Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
All right.
As Sean William Scott movies go, though, it's right up there at the very top.
That is faint praise of the highest order. The sixth best Sean William Scott.
There's a BuzzFeed article.
I
feel like American Pie is kind of up there by default.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
I like
it is.
Yeah,
but he's yeah.
No, he not because of him.
He was working in the Home Depot when he got cast, and he actually went back to working in the Home Depot after they finished
if
shooting.
If only that was true, Neil.
Harsh.
No. If you're talking about people who worked in a Home Depot in anything, I'm going to go with Employee of the Year and Dax Shepard and him staying there and not being allowed to leave.
First of all, it's Employee of the Month.
Employee of the Month.
Right.
Yes.
Well, it just felt like a year when you watched it.
I didn't watch it.
How insane do you think I am?
I've got a year to spare.
So that's me. Very brief rewatch
Jesus,
there.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Terrifying.
Jay, let's see you up there.
Yeah, end. I got two also. I got a rewatch and a newbie.
Ooh.
And newbie's not in the top 10, not surprisingly. Rewatch was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Brilliant.
Because it being out as a movie, so I thought I'd give it a watch again. It's still great.
My touch is here, just as you remember it. It is fantastic.
Yeah. The only niggle I have for it, and it kind of intensifies, I never really noticed the kind of the first couple of times I've seen it. I've certainly seen it about four times now altogether. Mm. And it's kind of grown slightly more, is the the Kirsten Dunst, Ruffalo, Elijah Wood
thing. Oh, subplot. Gets the fact
irritating. It just irritates. I don't know. It never noticed it, but it's just starting to irritate me from watching.
I like them.
I don't know why.
I like Ruffalo,
them.
But he's creepy enough. Dunst
that's the
is
point.
Kind of
he's meant
Dunst
to be
is kind of
there.
Nothing. Yeah, it just.
I suspect it's one of those things. Like it's one of those problems with rewatching a film is that elements
yeah,
that were just elements that were inoffensive on their own suddenly become a lag
that's
because
true. And
they
it,
separate the good stuff.
And also because it's such a good film, you almost start finding something, you know,
to
see
out,
if it yeah maybe
if
that
it
is because it's still great. I mean, I love
it's
the film.
It's fantastic.
I absolutely
it's one of Carey's best performances.
It's
Winslet's best.
Yes, it is.
And
the
more
the
of that
style
please.
Of it is just great.
That's Gondry.
He's pure.
The script is also
the script's great.
The script is great, but the two feed into each other.
Yeah,
the script demands a lot of imagination, and Gondry is nothing about
and
imagination.
And it does it in such
a
great lo-fi way.
A good script is
The Green Hornet.
Well, I wasn't going to go that Green Hornet. I was going to go that more recent one, that
Mood Indigo.
Yeah, that thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
That said, though, The Science of Sleep is kind of fun.
It's okay.
I like it.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure pretty much everybody's seen it on many times at this stage. I think it's one of those films that everybody has watched, or most people have watched.
Yeah, that's
it's great.
Along
it's
with
really
the Truman Show, that's one of like the Jim Carrey goodwill sort
which I've watched both of them in the last little while, actually, and they're both terrific.
So how do you feel about Jim Carrey?
I love Jim Carrey.
Who doesn't love Jim Carrey?
I love Jim Carrey in comedy and I love him in serious stuff. I think he's great. That's how I feel.
Tweeting about vaccines, on the other hand.
Well, yes,
no, we're not going to.
We have our own one of those in Rosanna Davison. So
yeah, we're not going to.
All right.
Every country gets a crack at it.
And what was the other one?
New watch was the Wolfpack.
Oh.
The documentary. It's a fascinating film in a lot of ways. I presume you know the story of the kind of five or six people in a family, it's like five or six brothers, and then there's a younger girl. In a public house in New York apartment. It's a lot of people have been reading reviews saying that they've never left it. They leave their apartment every so often.
Maybe once a year.
And sometimes more than that of a year, maybe five, six times. Like, it's not completely closed.
It's not
a million miles away from it, but it's not complete. And the film is put together through interviews with kind of some of them throughout the film at different points, and then a lot of kind of home footage because they were. The cameras, video cameras over the years, and you see the difference in quality depending on which time you're watching it, you know what I mean? What section you're watching it, what kind of video camera you had.
Interesting.
And the kind of, their dad's movie collection, like 2000 movies, so we remade lots of movies in a kind of Bitcoin rewind sort of way, you know, little bits, and they're very well done, very entertaining and everything. But there's this sinister kind of edge to it that's not. I felt there's more there than is said in the film. And it's not really hinted at, but you get a sense that there's something not being said that happened in the background.
This is a criticism I've read of this film a few times, actually. That two main problems seem to be, one, it doesn't really go into how they're kept there or why. It's nominally the father's influence.
Yeah, it's the father who's, by the looks of it, is somewhat an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And didn't work and got... And it, there's an element that there's probably a race thing that he didn't want them mixing with the young black
like
guys
saying,
outside the
possible alcoholism, maybe a race thing.
Possibly
again,
sexual
abuse, thing.
Which is
it's all,
also
it's all possible,
but nothing is explored in that way.
Yeah,
they're left to present their story, and they're hugely engaging, really entertaining, very funny, very smart, very cine literate young kids. Like,
yeah,
and really entertaining to watch. And you see them going different places like Coney Island in the last couple of years, and it's great to watch that. It's inspired and all that kind of stuff, and that's interesting.
Yeah.
But and the film starts really kind of small in the apartment, and since grows, so by the end of it they're in a field and somewhere, like it's really open. So it has that kind of true line, I guess, in terms of it. But it's still frustrating because there's more there that they either weren't allowed to talk about, weren't allowed to explore, either the filmmakers or the kids didn't want it. So it felt like half a documentary.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, it doesn't explore the why of their situation enough.
Certainly not enough.
And in all, it doesn't seem to make the most of these kids. I mean, just to see where they're at.
But
how on earth do these documentary filmmakers even get this access?
Well, see, that's the thing.
I imagine it was conditional.
The young guys walking around the streets, they walk around like in suits, so like kind of Reservoir Dogs. They actually do Reservoir Dogs as a bit,
yeah,
and they do it quite well. But so they look with sunglasses. They look quite. Like, they catch your eye, the group, you know?
Uh-huh.
They all look like each other, they're all in the suits. So apparently the filmmaker met them on the street, essentially, and then got to know them, and then a few years into it, got to know the background and stuff like that. Apparently. It all sounds a bit
bit thrown together.
Yeah, and I would think that there's something missing. It's entertaining enough. I mean, you watch it and you go, it's interesting. And the time will go by. You won't be bored by it or anything like that. It's decent, very decent, and very well put together. And the idea is good. But it's not nearly enough. I mean, it's not quite the same story, but I remember watching Catching the Freedmans a few years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, but do you remember how that was built? And then it kind of sucker punches you almost, like, that there's...
Could not believe
it's a mountain of horror kind of, and I'm not going to get into the whole story of it because
it's horrible
very much, but yeah. And it's horrible but it has that feeling of that this one is tries to build a similar way but pulls its punches completely on it.
The rug remains,
and we don't know. I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it, maybe, but there seems to be a lot more there than they say, and for that it kind of detracts from the film. But probably worth watch. Philip.
Okay, I have two I want to talk about as well. And it's funny, I'm going to link this back to something someone we mentioned earlier, the aforementioned Mr. Sean William Scott.
I knew you were a fan.
Good Lord, Philip. No, what have you done?
American Wedding.
No, I stumbled, I stumbled across Evolution on TV.
Oh!
It's been years.
It's not very good.
No.
It is.
I liked it when it came out. I presume it's... I kind of enjoyed it. I presume it's kind of...
It's Reitman, isn't it?
It is, Ivan Reitman, who is a long way from, well... Every height.
Yeah.
But, what is this film's obsession with gags involving the anus? I don't get it.
The anus is inherently funny. It's where poop comes from.
Yeah, but it's not so much
Schneider
about...
Movies.
Yes.
True. It's not so much about stuff that comes from it. It's more about stuff going in it, I think. And it's just not...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Besides that... David Duchovny did not quite have the charm to carry a comedy as a leading man. X-Files, yeah, sure.
He's probably not lead, but he does a great little bit in Zoolander.
Oh,
his hand model.
You freaking idiot!
I would argue that's quite possibly Duchovny's best acting performance.
I only watched that Zoolander recently. Zoolander's great, by the way. I really love Zoolander.
Me too. Duchovny,
history's great acting robot.
Anyway,
I love the guy, but
yeah. Anyway, Sean William Scott is in this playing his usual thing. Julianne Moore is in it playing a klutz. This was pre
a
lot of stuff. Yeah,
this would have been pre her sort of Hannibal breaking out, sort of mainstreaming. Yeah,
exactly.
This sounds like the cast is just names plucked out of a hat. And today we have Duchovny.
Exactly.
That's all we got.
This is
we couldn't get Anderson. No.
This is Ivan Reitman does Mad Libs essentially. Mm. It's not great, but that said, it wasn't offensively bad. It just
wasn't defensively good.
No.
I remember there being an extended bit with Dan Aykroyd as, like, is he the governor?
He is
the
governor.
And it's
and
it's just not... I remember that was the point at which I started to, like, question Aykroyd. I was young and impressionable. And it was like, he was the guy from Ghostbusters. Why is he not being funny? That was the bit that got me about the film. When I was like 12.
Yeah, he's not funny, but if you want to see Aykroyd unfunny, you could go back further than that. Yeah. Try Coneheads.
In terms of the cast list for Evolution, Jones is higher than Sean William Scott.
Yeah, he was. They were trying to make. Was he trying to be a thing?
Yeah,
it didn't work.
It did not work. No.
Yeah.
Ty Burrell is quite low down.
That was the film that gave us the line. I've seen this film. The black dude dies first, which admittedly not.
That is.
Yeah.
That's
probably
quite
its
wrong.
Greatest. But that's probably its greatest cultural contribution. Like, I mean, people had probably noticed it beforehand, but...
I'm glad to hear that, because I was afraid it would be the moment when they have to pluck something from Orlando Jones behind, and they say, okay, I'll get the lubricant. We don't have time for lubricant. There's always time for lubricant!
That's actually
surprising.
I would go for that, but anyway.
Small roles for Ty Burrell and Sarah Silverman as well. Eaton Suplex.
Ted Levine.
Is actually quite good.
Ted Levine.
Anyway, I'm going to move on from that to another film, which is much, much better. Holy Jesus, God, early goddamn animals! I rewatched Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas because I picked up the Criterion edition.
I saw.
Yeah. Yes.
How's it stand up?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's been a few years.
It's. If you treat it like an art film, and it's quite impressive. It'd be. If anybody is going to adapt Hunter S. Thompson, Terry Gilliam is a pretty good match, visually speaking.
Oh, certainly. And the words are there.
Yeah.
In the sense of the book.
Only problem is, you don't have the luxury of Thompson's prose, you know, on the page to carry you through. So there are times where it drags, and that's going to be the way of it.
I remember the character. I remember Depp being terrific.
Depp is terrific.
This is back at the point where Depp was
the real deal.
Get Ed Wood around the same time as well. I think that's
a few years, but yeah. There's around that time where it was after his attempt to go mainstream with Nick of Time had failed.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah,
that was bad.
And any movie with Christopher Walken.
Any movie with Christopher Walken is not the case.
Yeah, but Depp is great, and Benicio del Toro is brilliant as well.
As your lawyer.
Yeah. One talk, man! One talk over the line! And so on. Yep, great cast. I mean, I love the cameos crop up. There's Cameron Diaz, Gary Busey, Craig Bierko, someone else. Jumped out of it. Michael Jenner.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I saw it in the cinema when it came out, actually. I really had a great fun with it.
But the good things about it are the great things from the book. It is ridiculously quotable. The imagery is just insane.
I can't remember what the drug is to be taken, then you can't walk, and then you have to come from the car. Oh. I think it's the...
Definitely, sir.
Yeah. That's a fantastic scene.
Yeah. And it's a blast, especially for Thompson fans.
Yeah.
Which I am one.
Yeah.
Anybody not familiar with them, you're going to go to what's the hype about, I think. But as something that could have very easily gone wrong, look at the debacle over the scripting credit, it turned out all right in the end.
Yeah, so Alex Cox was originally attached, if I remember correctly.
He still has the screenwriting, co-screenwriter credit, yeah. But that got messy.
The same is true of like Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Turbulence behind the scenes doesn't always mean you're going to get Fantastic Four.
That's also true.
Yeah. Thank goodness. And yeah, as I say, this turned out quite well. Dog Trot the Pope, no fault of mine.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Great example.
Yeah.
So, that run for Depp, right? Mm. What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Ed Wood, Don John DeMarco, Dead Man, Nick of Time, Donnie Brasco, The Brave Fear and Loathing.
Yeah, like, that's you look at that and you think that is somebody who is going to, like, you think that's going to be George Clooney in 20 years.
It's
going to be, like, he's going to be a leading man who might actually get an Oscar at some point.
Then, Ninth Gate, Astronaut's Wife, Sleepy Hollow, The Man Who Cried, Before Night Falls, Shock of Lamb.
That's a real mixed bag.
Yeah.
To say the least. Then he started taking paychecks after that. Then,
yeah.
That was 99 and 2000's output. Yeah. Then he went on to Blow, From Hell, and Pirates of the Caribbean, and then he became a superstar.
Yeah,
he wanted to be all the time.
And did he? Do you think?
I don't know if he wanted to be.
Yeah, like this is a guy who defaced his own billboard. Like, he got arrested for defacing his own billboard.
Well, look at it this way: it worked out best for him at that time because he managed to become a star on his own terms. He did it by doing a Keith Richards impression. Mm. Who else would get away with that?
I suppose. And he kept doing it.
But he hasn't let it go. That's the problem.
Yeah. He hasn't. It has influenced everything he's done since.
Because it can't be money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this stage. Like, it can't be because...
There has to be a point at which you have it.
The truck has just full of
cash. And the worst
part
is...
My swimming pool is... I'm upgraded from 50 notes to 100 notes.
But the worst part is he's tried to recapture that and hasn't worked. Like, he did The Rum Diary, another Thompson adaptation. And that was dismal.
Yeah. Really dismal. Bruce Robinson as well.
Oh, yeah. Really pretty.
But hey, Black Mass...
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think the trailer's awful. Yeah, I think it's absolutely awful.
It looks so generic,
doesn't it?
The whole
thing of it just... Oh, yeah. God, I don't think that's going to work.
No.
Jack Nicholson and The Departed.
Yeah, essentially.
Essentially.
Yeah. So, I was on a Tom Hanks sort of marathon recently.
Hankering for some Hanks.
Hey. So, I rewatched Turner and Hooch. Which is fun. Still.
A questionable choice for if you're starting a Hanks marathon.
Yeah,
somewhere in the low middle.
Are we amping up?
A lot of it was based around the ones that my wife hadn't seen stuff. So we watched the one Man with One Red Shoe as well, which is not good.
What the hell is this? Random. What's the worst Hanks movies you know? Let's watch them all.
The one she hadn't seen.
Oh, okay.
So Apollo 13, which is great.
Oh, yeah, that's great. There's your Ron Howard.
Yeah, and
that's for Jay.
Thank you.
And Castaway as well.
Castaway's also great.
Castaway's good.
He's very good in it.
He is. Yeah. I mean, there's a commitment to it.
This is Zemeckis, so Jay is also a bit on the fence.
But it's funny, but it's like Zemeckis
Real gets a pass for Who Framed Roger Rabbit forever. Like.
I'm still going.
And the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yeah, and the Back to the Future trilogy, yeah.
And it's real actors as opposed to motion capture with dead eyes.
Thank that goodness. They are. Those
Tom Hanks
are
playing
awful.
Everybody.
That's creepy.
That's like my nightmare world, and I like Tom Hanks. It's like imagine Pleasantville. It's like a world where everybody is Tom Hanks.
Overly Pleasantville.
Tom Hanks is everybody in Elizabethtown.
Yeah. Oh, with melting horror. I think of that.
I'm amazed Tom Hanks hasn't been in a Cameron Crowe movie.
He was the original choice of Jerry Maguire.
Oh, he chose well. Cruise is great.
So yeah, mostly that's been my rewatch. I also rewatched Jaws because it's Jaws.
It's great.
One of my favorite film-going memories is when we went to see Jaws at the Jemison Cult Film Club, and this is the thing where, of course, they recreate scenes, and they recreate one of the initial panics on the beach after one of the first attacks.
Oh.
And my enduring memory of this is one particular
extra
loon of an extra. Just jumped out from behind the rest of the crowd, and oh, he was just so into it. His mouth was wide open. It was everything but screaming and flailing of arms everywhere. The punchline is, it was Niall.
It was me.
Very entertaining.
And I was gasping for breath with laughter. Thank you for that.
In my Amity Island t-shirt and a pair of shorts, which should not be repeated anywhere.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah. Who likes short shorts? Not me.
So, on that note,
how we didn't actually talk about Jaws.
We'll move on to the news. There's no need. Everyone knows everything they need to know about Jaws.
That's true.
A classic. So, Toronto has added two more Irish films. It has completed its lineup now.
Finally.
Yeah. Seems to be about 7 million films playing there. Anyway, it's two more Irish films. Simon Fitzmaurice's My Name is Emily and Michael Lennox's A Patch of Fog. So Michael Lennox is a Northern Irish director, and he was nominated for Oscar for Boogaloo and Graham.
Good for him.
Yeah. Simon Fitzmaurice one is, of course, the one that opened the FLA. He's the director who was afflicted with motor neuron disease and had to direct the film via the use of his eyes.
Me feel lazy and not feel like I've never accomplished anything, I have to say.
Yep. You won't.
Amen to that.
Typical uplifting scan on podcast. We started with It's a Beautiful Day Outside, and this is where we are.
I hate my life. Anyway, go on.
It's just a meaningless... The Irish independent Western, Darkest on the Edge of Town, has been selected for the Cambridge Film Festival in the UK, so that's one of the more prestigious ones that are up there. It's not quite London, but it's still pretty good. So that's great to see. This stars Emma Eliza Regan and Emma Wilson and Brian Gleeson. I actually recommend checking it out. It's quite
it's not an Irish film.
A
it doesn't have
film.
A Gleeson.
Quite a remarkable film considering the budget that it had at $18,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you get a chance to see Darkest on the Edge of Town, I recommend checking it out. Then, three Irish films are heading to Busan. In South Korea.
I was going to say, where the hell is Busan? I was like, oh yeah, it's
in South Korea. Yes.
I knew that.
The European Film Promotion push a number of films every year. Primarily, they push ones that are from newer directors. So the three Irish ones are two co-productions, which is the Polish-Irish co-production 11 Minutes. That's Jerzy Smoliński, who did Essential Killing. That's his new one, which Element is involved in. The UK-Irish co-production The Hollow from Corin Hardy, who's the new Crow director. This is a horror film that's also playing at...
Do we need a Crow reboot?
No, we don't.
But
no.
You're getting it anyway.
We're getting one anyway.
Although people like to pretend that The Crow is amazing, but it's not. It's okay. But
I haven't seen
it
in a long time.
I bet it has somewhat overshadowed by outside actors.
You mean like it starred Dying?
That one.
But you know what?
The fact that's vastly superior to the sequels.
Well, that wouldn't be hard. But then again, I'm willing to give Alex Proyas a pass almost purely on the basis of Dark City.
Yes. I would agree with that.
Up until what's the one with Nicolas Cage with the
knowing.
Numbers? Knowing?
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, that's a bad one. With the blades.
Was he involved
in the writing of it? Okay. Was he? I don't know. He was involved in something.
But I just remember the Nicolas Cage one with the space pedophiles. That's my defining Alexis Price memory.
It's not
a nice film.
The other Irish film that's playing in Busan is Paddy Bratnock's Viva, which we talked about last week. This is set in Cuba, so none of them are. One is English director set in Ireland, another is Polish director set primarily in Poland, and another one is an Irish director primarily set in Cuba. So you're getting nice international flair going on.
Indeed.
Then, Lenny, good news. Room is going to open the 37th Aspen Film Festival. Oh,
they made room for that.
Hey. So, as part of the whole sort of Oscar push for this, they're looking for it to be viewed as a tentpole sort of festival film.
Nice.
And so it's going to open open Aspen on the 25th of September. So.
Working.
Hey.
One more of those, and you're going out the window.
Also, we got a release date for Room.
Oh,
in Ireland, January 29th.
Oh, for goodness sake, isn't it out in October?
It's out on October 16th in the States.
On the plus side, there's a lot of good stuff coming out before Christmas. Macbeth, Steve Jobs, basically all the Fassi movies.
Do you say good films and Jobs in the same...
I think it.
Well, it's going to be better than the Aston Kutcher one, right?
That again, that's not really what they're expecting.
I imagine the rap party for that was basically we got the cinemas first. Yeah.
Well done. That's the new era in the film.
Yeah. Adequate job.
There's a new Steve Jobs documentary.
Oh, overkill. Let's watch
that.
Alec
Guinness.
I feel like they're really jumping it at this point.
Doesn't he stop?
No, he never stops.
We're not a bit quality at all, Alex. Jesus.
Oh my, but I've interviewed him and I expected him to be like a real motor mouth, almost Tarantino-esque. No, perfectly normal.
That's not as energy goes into his 50 documentaries a year.
Yeah.
I'm actually documenting this interview
right now. Although, would you believe, there's one director I know who has more films out this year than he does, and unfortunately, it's Noah Baumbach. I'm off to see the third.
Go a Baumbach to back, really.
Oh, you made that gag before.
It's made me gag before.
What you get up to in your own time, Jay?
Unfortunately, Jay, the other film that Baumbach's made this year is a documentary on Brian De Palma, so you might be tempted to see it.
I might not be. Let's move on.
I don't know. Brian De Palma made Mission Impossible, so you know.
Yeah,
because that's the highlight of his filmography.
It's the one probably most people have seen in terms of Brian De Palma films. But I wouldn't say most people have seen Raising Cain.
Most people are idiots. They should.
So that's
there's
the
your
one.
John Lithgow recommendation for the week, people.
Or Black Dahlia.
Oh, that's so bad. Oh, that's career-ending bad. That film.
Yeah.
You would think.
Book.
Oh yeah.
Oh, terrible film. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
No. Go watch LA Confidential instead.
Do that anyway.
Yeah, that comes out one of my top 10 films ever, too. Yeah.
Wow.
I adore it.
It is, yeah.
Very
fantastic.
So, one last news piece.
Do it.
Ooh.
Colm Meaney has been cast as Martin McGuinness
in The Journey. This sounds ridiculous. with
Timothy Spall
as Dean
Paisley.
On general curiosity alone,
is it like a road trip movie?
Yes.
Hang on, it's going to be amazing. I didn't hear this news before now.
I read this today.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the argument over the car speaker on the car radio.
You may want to read the website.
No, sorry, I think I am the website. No, but I'm just hoping that Spall's Paisley impression is better than his impression of Winston Churchill.
I suspect it won't be.
But to be fair now, my argument is that when he saw he was cast as Churchill, he's saying
say
an impression
no,
of the bulldog.
Over again,
and no,
yeah. no, no.
Do you mind if I change the radio station there, Ian?
No. A bit more like JMW Turner.
Oh, this sounds like an absolute train wreck.
Like a Diana style train wreck.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Let's get that opening card.
So
you don't negotiate the peace process. The peace
process
negotiates
you.
Here's our tagline right there. There you go. That'd be 50 grand, please.
McGinnis,
can have that one.
Yeah, McGinnis and Paisley. It's the classic love story, isn't it?
Or the Odd Couple.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. The Chuckle Brothers.
That's what they're called. That's what they're called, isn't it? Yeah.
Chuckle Vision.
So, yeah, it's
Nick, to me. Say me.
It's Nick Ham.
Give my headpiece process.
It's Nick Ham who directed Killing Bono and Colin Baker.
Oh, good. Yes. Who gave these money?
Wait, I'm not done. Directing a script by Colin Bateman, who wrote Divorcing Jack. Yes.
David Chulis.
They're very good into verbing people. Very much into verbing people.
Yeah.
Is it driving Paisley? Driving is Paisley. That's what it is.
No.
Colin Bateman became just known as Bateman.
Yeah.
Is this like an artist name?
He writes Northern Criminal Officer. They're funny, but he churns them out, and he's just become known in a rebranding as Bateman.
Yeah, but it's like King.
But it's not really like King. King.
The only thing is, I wonder if he hands out business cards. You card. What do you think?
And then he'll go, yeah. And then he'll go next year, it's a new film, what do you think? Like, yeah, we're not watching that.
That's Bone.
That's when he turns up wearing a clear rain mac and carrying a hatchet.
Oh, God.
I bet he hears that gag a lot.
I cannot wait to see this train wreck of a film.
Just wait until it... Wait until it comes out. Your words when it turns out to be mediocre.
Wait until it wins.
It has you in its fall.
Wait until it wins IFTAs.
Oh, all round. All round.
Got an IFTA for Christ's sake. I don't, but some people believe it. Give it to anybody.
You use it to keep your door open, right?
Yeah.
Come on, tell me that Michael Fassbender and Macbeth is going to be mind-blowingly brilliant, right? I'm all very excited about that. But on the other hand, road trip movie with Timothy Spall, Colin Meaney as Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness
with Miles O'Brien and Mr. Turner.
I speed ahead. I'm going to quote Macbeth here. So dark and fair a day I have not seen.
Well, I do like the idea of rather than him playing Martin McGuinness, he should play his character from Con Air.
Oh, they should be driving in the convertible.
Yeah. I was tired of that car.
God, he's so annoying in Con Air. It's that woeful, hard-ass role. Yeah. It's so bad.
That was sort of like his thing in American film.
Die Hard 2, when he was the British pilot.
He does not have a great American accent.
We love you, Colin Meaney.
I adore Colin Meaney, but he does not have the best American accent.
Because all our actors are... So many of our actors actually do manage it. I'm looking at you, Fassy.
He manages it at points.
Farrell's is great.
Speaking of things that I watched recently, SWAT.
People thought that exists.
Not terrible.
The main thing I remember about SWAT is the wonderful, awkward interview with Samuel Jackson, where a Sky News reporter tries to claim Colin Farrell as one of their actors, to which Samuel Jackson responds, "We had that too. It was called slavery."
That's terrible.
That is my defining memory of SWAT.
It has Jeremy Renner as the seventh lead in with the world's worst earrings, and Josh Charles. Yeah,
I like Josh Charles.
Oh, I
really, I like Josh Charles, really actually. Like Josh, but I really don't like Jeremy Renner.
The earrings could change.
The cast now would cost an absolute fortune to assemble.
Yeah. Colin Farrell, Samuel too? Jackson.
Well, Colin Farrell's probably cheaper, right?
He wouldn't cost that much.
Yeah, Colin Farrell's probably cheaper now, right?
Than that time? No, yeah. SWAT was only the start of it.
Okay, I thought SWAT was when he was hot.
No, that was 2003.
Hotter SWAT.
He was SWAT on the way. That was part of the rise.
I thought he was swatting off roles left and right.
Yes. Anyway, on to the top 10.
Let's move on.
Aliens, 9 weeks in the charts.
It's gone up 25%.
And, yeah, because... It was the last last weekend before school.
Yeah, but good lord. Though.
And also, it was an awful weekend. The weather was horrific.
9 weeks, though. Holy crap.
And 4.1 million later.
To be fair, there are two films that have been in there for more than 4 weeks as well. So, like, it's an old top ten.
Yeah, nine weeks. That's meant that next week it will pass Jurassic World to be the highest grossing film of the year.
I'm kind of thankful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it the what highest grossing film of all time, or is that just here?
Here.
Next
week it's over a billion. Next week anyway. It will pass a billion. It hasn't passed it yet. 990 million, but it'll pass a billion next week. So yeah, and the thing is, if it keeps going, right, we could end up with five films from this year in the top ten of all time.
You know, yeah, but piracy.
You know,
for fuck's sake.
It's definitely real.
You know what would be fun, and by fun I mean soul-destroying? Imagine trying to track your way to the top 100 highest-grossing films of all time. Like, imagine how fun,
To
watch them all. Like.
Not in this lifetime, Charlie.
You know what? I've watched most of them.
Yeah, no, I've watched a few,
I'm sure. But
yeah, but I mean, as a marathon. Like, as like a...
Well, just the top 10, it'd kill you, because you'd have Titanic and Avatar.
Yeah.
Not to mention...
What you'd end with. Titanic and then Avatar.
And Gone with the Wind.
No. Just...
You're adjusting for inflation.
Of course I'm adjusting for inflation. Otherwise, we have to make do with Titanic and Avatar.
Actually, Titanic and Avatar are in them anyway. They're in...
Yeah, I know, but I don't want them at the top.
Jesus, it's okay.
Yeah. Principles, man.
It's my top 10. And by my top 10, I mean the world's top 10.
Historically speaking.
Anyway, speaking of the thing about the box office, is Star Wars tracking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to blitz.
615 million opening weekends. Yeah.
But that's not just a bullshit story.
615
million. How did you get that many screenings?
That's worldwide. That's,
okay.
Yeah. So 300 million US to 315 million domestic. Yeah.
300 million?
Yeah.
What's the current record?
260. Avengers.
Come on, it could be worse. It could be Phantom Menace.
Somewhere like that. Avengers has the opening.
Yeah, we don't know what it's like yet. It could well be Phantom Menace.
You say that, but I'm quite content. I suspect I will only get one Phantom Menace in my lifetime, and I'll be thankful for that.
Yeah, but then I'm wrong.
Number one opening weekend ever. it was Avengers 207. It's Jurassic World 208.
Actually, no. You know what? I'm happy for it to beat that.
Yeah,
quite happy.
Yeah, so Star Wars is tracking now somewhere north of 250.
Somewhere
north of 250 and a 615 million opening weekend worldwide.
Yeah.
I just can't wait till it opens so I don't have to hear about it anymore. Like,
As opposed to the other eight films that are coming after.
No, the whole year of just Star Wars. Yeah. I know
there's
going to
be another whole year of Star Wars.
But once one film comes out, then at least it'll be in the film thing. It'll just be...
But then you'll
anticipation will have ebbed and flowed.
A little, yeah. That's what I mean.
Or it's either going to be really bad, in which case people are going to be talking about it afterwards, or it's going to be really good, in which case people are going to be talking about the next one.
I don't care for any of them. Anyway, let's move on.
Thank you, Jay. I agree.
At nine... Southpaw, 5 weeks in the charts.
How?
£1 million. Nice work.
I don't understand this. Yeah, it's not good.
Let's pause to acknowledge it.
Is it? Oh, this has gone south.
Yeah,
yeah. Is it Antoine Fuqua's second biggest movie in Ireland? Yeah,
probably.
It's got to be something.
Probably, because we can't remember most of the rest. That and Training Day. That's it.
Yeah.
Training Day is not as good as... people say
it's great performances, I like Hawk as well, but
most people remember Denzel
because that was really the first time he did a proper villain role, right?
Correctly, at least after he earned his, he's great. The only other thing that springs to mind as far as he did Olympus Has Fallen, didn't he?
Olympus Has Fallen,
which somehow managed to be the second worst White House siege movie of the year in question.
Wow.
There were three of them, to be fair. There was also G.I. Joe. I count G.I. Joe. That's the one where you elect a Democrat and all of a sudden he's a secret terrorist.
Because racism. Jonathan Pryce.
It is Jonathan Pryce, but he's still a secret terrorist.
Also born in England, so he couldn't be breast.
I demand he be impeached to this.
He was born in Brazil.
Whichever.
This is like President Wolfcastle in The Simpsons. I was born to lead, not to read.
John Price, Brazil.
The price is wrong, I think.
Yeah. Elliot Carver.
is this podcast nearly over yet?
No, but the thing is, if you elect John Price, how do you not know that he's going to turn out to be
a villain?
Yeah.
You could get nice inept John Price as opposed to villainous Hammy.
Bumbling
Price.
Right,
yeah.
John Price.
Yeah. Is Jonathan Pryce
with a beard painting in a field somewhere? Not Jonathan Pryce. We get that Jonathan Pryce.
No, Murdoch Jonathan Pryce. That's the one you want.
Yeah, confident Jonathan Pryce is always going to be evil Jonathan Pryce.
He's not even in Southpaw. Let's move on.
I don't know how we got into this.
No! This is Tangents of the Yazoo.
Come on.
At least, it's the man from Uncle. 2 weeks in the charts, it's down to eight.
I think we're going to have to call Uncle on this.
Yeah, we're done.
That is done. Sorry.
It's done.
Put a fork in it.
Well done, Mourners. Good work.
Which is a shame.
250,000.
They gave Guy Ritchie money. They've only done
stuff. No, but had it come out earlier in the summer, it probably would have done better.
Probably.
We're suffering a little bit from Spy fatigue. It coming out so close
after Spy
Impossible.
Kingsman.
And Kingsman before that. But yeah,
it's made a fortune.
Yeah, and one of Quentin Tarantino's movies of the year.
Quentin Tarantino has really questionable taste.
That's what makes him brilliant.
Last year he had something bizarre in there. Too,
Big
he?
Bad Wolf.
What?
That was his number one film of last year.
Big Bad Wolf. On Netflix.
Yeah, the
Israeli
yeah.
film.
I have not watched that. I must check it out.
I heard it's okay.
I heard it's okay.
But so. I didn't hear that from Tarantino.
No.
Anyway, the spy film that's doing better is at 7. It's Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Over
possibly
a million quid better.
It's a better film.
But not necessarily.
You're really hot on this.
I'm sorry,
so
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation is a lot of fun.
It's the most Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Which I would argue does not make it the best Mission Impossible.
No, it's not
Agreed.
The best Mission Impossible, but it's a good...
It's like the statistical average of the Mission Impossible
It's
film.
My fourth favorite.
Fourth?
Ah, it couldn't be any worse than the second one. It couldn't
but that,
be.
I think that's why it's fourth of five.
It's fourth.
Wait,
yeah.
That's
keep up, Jay.
Actually, I think I've dismissed the second one as a film.
Brendan,
I don't blame you.
It's bad.
It's a 2-hour-long shaving commercial with doves.
Yeah. I still want to watch the 3.5-hour version just
What's
to see.
What's wrong with you?
Just to see.
Why is the director wooing you back?
Oh.
You're a hard target, though.
Darren, these are particularly painful this week, these buns.
So you say they're punishing?
And in fairness, you just have to face off against them. And
will you collect that paycheck at the end?
I'm feeling particularly hard-boiled right now.
Hey, join in.
At 6.
Participating is fun.
At 6, and something that Philip probably needs, it's vacation.
I'm going on mine shortly, but I don't need to see this.
So straight in at 6 to go straight back out again.
This has got
Warners are doing really well this summer.
Has a vacation got surprisingly good reviews in Ireland?
Yes.
Has it?
I
did
love people talking
about
it. There are some positives already.
Tell me what outlets are giving the positive reviews. Donald?
It's a very traditional, old school comedy, in that it's pretty.
It's
much
a rehash of National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yes.
Of course it is.
Yeah, but I mean, there's something sort of it captures nostalgia quite well, which is exactly what a film that is a reboot of.
But it looks like it hasn't captured an audience though, really.
Yeah.
So
no,
that's a problem.
Despite Chris Hemsworth and his manliness.
Yeah, I saw that. It's yeesh.
There's a lot more of Chris Hemsworth than you're expecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boogie Nights 2, it ain't. Yeah. All I could think of, I saw that trailer, they went, we're the Griswolds. I thought, oh, God, for you.
That's brand management right there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Are the recipients of that particular sentence meant to know who they are?
I think it's more the theme of asserting that they are a family unit and have learned to function together over the course of the eponymous vacation.
Ah, right.
I think it's an assertion that they are a family unit.
Or else they're just fucking idiots.
Yeah, I imagine, but to be fair, as opposed to the rest of the I'm a Griswold. But yeah, it's...
Did you see me in London that time? 35 years
ago. I mean, like, you're worried about the lead family in National Lampoon's Vacation coming across as obnoxious. I think you might be missing the point.
What, a family led by Chevy Chase, you mean? Heaven forfend.
Well, this is the thing, like, Are the vacation films particularly well regarded? Like, I think
I like the European vacation.
Okay, I thought they were grand.
I watched most of them as a kid, so I enjoyed them.
Like all the Saturday Night Alumni films, Ghostbusters, and Wayne's World. I don't really rate the most of the Chevy Chase ones.
National Lampoon's predates.
Was that before he was on
this? The National Lampoon.
I think of them as a Chevy Chase vehicle.
I like Fletch. That's all I can say.
Yeah, Fletch is great. Fletch is massively underseen.
Fletch is great.
I would actually, for all that we're getting reboots of Chevy Chase properties,
Fletch
Lives.
There is Fletch Lives, isn't there? Is it Ty Burrell or someone who's meant to play him? No, it's...
Wasn't it...
Ed Helms is meant to play him.
Oh,
of course he is.
Okay.
I'm not so sure.
And yet somehow we got the Ed Helms Chevy Chase vehicle of vacation.
Great.
Anyway, F5, straight in F5 to probably not do it all that well, is Sinister 2.
To horror reviews.
Yeah, the reviews.
So your hopes were dashed, Jay.
Without real expectations.
It's Kieran Fyfe, it's an Irish director. You want to see him do well.
He hasn't.
And
apparently he comes out with it alright though.
Yeah, apparently he's the mudslung thing added.
It's more just the franchise.
Well,
you must be right because he has got his deal to do the She
with them again with Blumhouse. So
yeah, but I mean, they did the first Sinister, right? So that's,
I presume, Sinister 2 didn't cost a lot to make.
No,
yeah, probably not. They swapped the leading man out for James Renstone, right?
Oh, okay.
He was under very much a very restrictive budget and a very restrictive time frame as well. So slippage was pretty much unacceptable.
I think Kieran Foy now has an opportunity. He's making a horror film with a decent budget, these things go, set in Ireland. Because Irish horror, not exactly a fine pedigree.
But people seem to love them, though.
But they're not very good, though.
Yeah, but people love horror films in general, even though they're terrible. I remember when The Hills of Eyes reboot got a sequel?
I'd rather forget, thanks.
Yeah.
Or the fact that there was a remake of House of Wax.
or that there were two remakes of Halloween directed by Rob Zombie.
That was briefly funny. We got to watch Paris Hilton die.
But the thing is, most horror films are terrible.
Yeah.
About 80 to 90%. Most films are terrible.
Surgeon's Law.
But I think by horror, though, I think is even.
Horror brings out the worst because you assume that when people want horror, they just want gore, which means you can make it cheap.
Or jump scares.
So you make it cheap and you make it fast.
Jump scares.
I was sick of them years.
They're
back.
So passe.
Yeah, they really are.
But actually, if I've read something interesting about Sinister 2, the lead actor James Ransone, and this is my second Charlie Chaplin anecdote of the week.
Good Christ.
I know, I'm working it in. Apparently, his performance in the first Sinister was usually influenced by Chris Farley. But he looked at the sequel in which he has a much bigger role, and he was like, I can't extend that to a full feature film length. So James Ransone's performance in Sinister 2 is heavily influenced by Charlie Chaplin in City Lights. There you have it, people.
I don't know what
to say. How does that translate to a horror film?
I think you can take that in. I think that'll enhance your appreciation of the film in question.
Well, I won't see it. So
it's
it
nice to see
really
Shannon Sossaman back on the screen. I do like that. So, anyway, F4, Pixels! How in the name of Christ has this made €416,000?
Yeah, Adam Sandler's not done yet.
What the hell?
But he's not.
I am in stunned. Near silence.
And a drop, people! A drop of minus 12% is not a lot.
Again, bad weekend in terms of weather.
But I mean, yeah. And even the worst film of the year?
Nope. Well, it depends. That was a festival film. It was not released in this year.
Fair point.
Then,
fair point.
So,
if at all.
Ever.
On my point then.
We're talking about a film that will be coming out soon.
Yeah, but also, his second worst film of the year is coming up soon as well. So.
Oh, good.
It's knocking it out of the park there.
Pixels, I feel like as Pixels, I get older, I'm hating more.
So Pixels is right. He's seen a film since Pixels that he hates more than Pixels. So this is good.
And it's a quick turnaround. Didn't get to hate Pixels long enough, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't get to bask in it properly. For a film that takes the character of Q-Bert and then uses him to make urine jokes.
A trophy wife and urine jokes.
Yeah. I feel like...
They're taking a piss.
Yeah, there we go. He gets it.
Yeah.
I set it up, you knock it out.
You best believe it.
F3, Paper Towns. So this is the highest new entry of the week. So,
yeah.
And if you take its 7-day opening weekend, it was the highest opening weekend of the...
Horse-sized, isn't it?
Last bullcrap. Yeah. So it made 110...
Still over a quarter mil so far. So.
No, that's why. It made 110,000 over the weekend.
Made a lot of paper.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So this is...
get out of town.
Oh. This isn't doing as well in the States as, or anywhere really, as Fault in Our Stars did. So,
it's doing okay.
But I mean, it doesn't have, like, Woodley is a good actress.
Cara Delevingne is not. Less of an actress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where's all this hatred coming from?
She's not great.
She's not a very good actress. I'm sorry. It's just.
Carla, what's.
Carla Delevingne. She's just not.
She was the one good thing about the last Winterbottom film, so I'm willing to give her that.
Is that the
Face of an Angel?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, terrible.
Winterbottom can hit or miss spectacularly. He oscillates wildly.
He makes a lot of films, though. That'll do it.
He's about 1 a year, on average. He's 1 a year.
Yeah, but he's that's kind of the bottom. He's back in the day.
But that's it. He's
pissing
about the same average as Woody Allen.
Yeah.
In terms of both quantity and quality.
Yeah. That's a numbers game, you know? 90% of everything's crap, that means...
Some good stuff, though. He has some very good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, at 2, Trainwreck.
I feel...
Down from last week's number 1.
You see, you're talking about, Pixels down 12%. Like, I mean, Trainwreck by the 21%, that's a far superior reviews than Pixels.
Yeah, but it was coming from a higher base as well, though, so...
Yeah.
And it's earned more than...
Not much more.
No.
No, not much, yeah.
I mean, Adam Sandler.
To be fair, though, I imagine that the Adam Sandler
train wreck.
Yeah, but the Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler
probably
is a
family.
Train wreck.
Yeah.
Train wreck is.
Yeah, but Train wreck was they sold the hell out of Train wreck. I mean, Pixels just limped into the cinema essentially, and it's nearly made as much money.
There was a lot of bus advertising and all the rest of Pixels.
And I imagine it's a nice sort of take the kids who feel they're too old for Inside Out or Minions.
Take the kids who you despise to the cinema.
This is like punishment. Well, it's like you didn't do the dishes. We're going to Pixels.
The thing is, like films that have come out 20 years after the original property. So Jurassic World has done very, very well.
Yeah.
You see that you see the same thing then with Pixels is having this thing. So
they had this out there. Yeah, the nostalgia on is the sweet spot is the early 90s now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So Man from U.N.C.L.E. is 70. So
yeah,
it's
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
is
a little
too
short.
Long, you know, of a gap. So. Whereas Mission Impossible, the first one, came out 20 years ago.
What I find bizarre about The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is, why not just make a spy film?
Yeah, why do you need the brand
recognition?
Oh,
yeah, because, who are you selling Man from U.N.C.L.E. to?
Yeah.
I
don't think the
man
base is
Jesus, David
Soul
and Robert Vaughn are barely alive. Never mind the people that watch the bloody thing.
But I mean, and it's also...
Well, I watched it.
I watched it as well, but I mean... The average
clamoring
7,
for a film?
No, it wasn't. And particularly not a Guy Ritchie film, I might add.
Really?
No, but I liked the idea of it because it was going to be a case of all style over substance, which is something that
by which he excels in.
Yeah, but that can be escapist cinema.
We don't want escapist cinema. I want punishment.
I want a 4-hour Polish documentary about the war. Yeah, I don't want that.
Why do you want that?
I want you all to watch that too.
You'll all watch it. Yeah. Darren, you do the dishes, you're going to see the 4-hour Polish documentary about the war.
I let you talk me into Grace and Monaco. I let you talk me into Grace and Monaco, Jay.
We liked that. We liked watching it. We didn't like the film.
At number one.
What is wrong with you?
Back up to number one after 5 weeks in the charts.
Excellent.
Inside Out.
Yeah, I guess it knows the charts, Inside Out.
Yeah.
Is it back at number one?
You're back at number one.
There's deja vu. Every week I'm making that gag and you can't take it from me.
Yeah, it's actually climbed like, 0.1%, 0.01%, or 0.06%.
Yeah.
I'm delighted.
It's great.
I really like it.
D-A-N-G-E-R. Chart topper.
No,
Richard Kynes, thank you for this gift of Bing Bong. We are eternally grateful.
The only problem is that it's 1.3 million behind Minions.
No, it's not a problem. It's doing fine.
Well,
it's just an aberration, and plus this is going to get more time in the charts.
Yeah. Oh, or sad. Sadness. Is there going to be a sadness spin-off?
No, but there's a short that's going to accompany the DVD of its Riley's first date.
Oh, thank God they're going to say lava. Jeez.
No. Yes.
Jesus, somebody stop this. Right, go on.
New releases.
What we got?
So we're going to start with the one that's out today. Hitman, Agent 47. So today is Thursday as we record. So, yep.
I'm sure this is great.
It's it's better than the last Hitman movie.
Really?
Really?
Barely.
But it has no Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Or Olga Kurylenko.
Yeah.
I can't see how that would
make a better film.
Versus Rupert Friend or Hannah Ware.
Friend is the lead. Who thought that? It's like, let's do a Hitman movie. Who can we get? But we can't get him. Is Rupert Friend available? Somebody, a little lower level executive in the back of the room, whispers.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then somebody, I like it. And then he gets promoted and then he gets fired.
Did you say Rupert Grint? No.
Rupert ever?
Did you say Rupert?
Oh, I would love
Rupert the Bear?
Rupert Grint?
We're very harsh on Rupert Friend, dear.
I would rather.
No friends here, eh?
Oh my god!
But yeah, it's not a good film.
No.
It's an interesting failure in that it's pretty much it's trying to do the comic book adaptation thing, but with video games, ignoring the fact that
no video game adaptation has ever worked.
Yeah, because the things that make video games unique and interesting as a medium are the things that make them different from film. Like, what makes a video game interesting is the fact that you interact and you control the narrative and the pacing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But when it comes to film, it's about watching a narrative. Like, it's about watching the most boring Let's Play ever.
Yeah.
And it is. Like, the film is structured like levels.
Well, that's the thing. It's always like watching somebody else play a damn game. And
they're not as good as you are, dammit.
And in Doom, that's actually what happens. There is that sequence, that first player point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Doom is probably
can't save Doom.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I would argue Doom. Is Mortal Kombat the best video game movie? I realize this is like. I was going to say like Sophie's Choice, but we're going to stay away from Holocaust analogies.
If I had to pick one, I'd vote Silent Hill.
That had Sean Bean in it, right? And Alice Cridge.
And Rada Michelle.
Oh yes, yeah. So
I'm going to go with Super Mario. No.
Oh, Max Landis is Super Mario Brothers.
I quite like Super Mario Brothers. That's all I'm going to say. That's Bob Hoskins in it.
Okay,
and Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper. Yeah,
get out.
It's not good, but I quite enjoyed it.
I don't feel like I'm wasting my time.
They're all bad. Yeah. But in the realm of bad computer game, I enjoyed it.
Let's just go down through this for a second, and we just go
yay
or nay,
or mostly nay.
So Super Mario Bros. Is the first one. So.
Nay.
Double Dragon.
No.
Street Fighter.
Yes.
Street Fighter.
Yeah, come on, roll to the
eye. Of course.
I can't even know.
For you, the day that I came into your village and killed everyone you ever knew about was the most important day of your life.
Nay.
For me, it was Tuesday.
I can't say anymore.
I like it.
John
Cleveland, okay.
Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
I'm okay with Street Fighter. Okay.
Dude, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Mortal
Kombat's not terrible. Right.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Couldn't even get Christopher Lambert back.
Yeah, he wanted to be doing something bad, but he can't get Lambert back.
He was too busy doing the Sicilian.
He was riding as well, which is just, oh my god.
There's your awkward racial cast.
Wing Commander.
Never saw him.
No, I've never seen
him. Oh, that was with, what's his face? Freddie Prinze Jr., wasn't it?
That sounds like a TV movie.
Okay, there is your first problem. You're casting in these things. Right. Now,
yeah,
really the casting.
Well, like, I mean, you have to get good actors.
This is what
Niall is leading up to with the other the other thing that came out today. The first image of Michael Fassbender
in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that's the first one that's actually any good.
Well, he fits the part.
Yeah. I suspect it's his terrible, but we'll see.
It's from the director of Macbeth, and it has Marion Cotillard on board as well.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah, just
I did you not.
So, that's probably a better idea. That's a better way of making a good video game movie than trying to actually make a video game movie.
Yeah.
It's just to take the name of a video
and
game
make
and make a good movie.
Yeah.
It's a great strategy.
Well, we'll see if it works.
Yeah.
I mean,
so Warcraft as well. Duncan Jones, come on, Duncan bloody
I'm
Jones.
Actually, I'm, yeah.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it, how long has that been sort of languishing? Like, I want to see.
I imagine there's a lot of.
I
want to
see
there's
Studio Network.
Yeah.
But I want to see, was it Mute? That was the one that he pitched, and he the concept art. About
yeah, no, he's, that's his next
All
one.
I got to say is, it's got to be a do well to be as good as the
as
World, of Craft, World of Warcraft South Park episode.
That was genius.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was great.
So, I'm not, Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
No.
Final Fantasy The Spirits Within.
No.
Creepy.
Resident Evil.
No.
See, here's the thing. I feel like the Resident Evil movies get a pass. Like, they're terrible.
What?
But they're terrible movies. But, like, they seem to be the ones
they
that
just
they're,
keep making
they're terrible movies that it's okay for people to like, apparently.
Also, you can just sit at home at Christmas and watch them all.
Okay, yeah. That's it. Post, I'm not playing this game anymore. No way. No freaking way.
Right, okay. I'm saying, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life.
Yeah, no.
No.
House of the Dead.
No. Oh, that's it! You ball! Which actually integrates video game footage into it. Very avant-garde, but still terrible.
Yeah.
Tara Reid and Christian Slater?
No, that's Alone in the Dark.
Oh, God. This is all terrible. Which do you get through this? Come on!
The film knows
that. Philip is hitting his head off the wall. Let's try and get through these quicker.
Resident Evil Apocalypse?
No. Just skip the Resident Evil.
Alone in the Dark!
That is still one of the worst films I've ever seen.
1% on Rotten Tomatoes. Doom.
What's the one? Doom is meh.
Yeah. Blood Rain. Back to you, babe.
Somebody stop
ben
him.
Ben Kingsley. Isn't it? There's
Christina Loken. Yeah.
Michael Madsen in a bad wig.
Silent Hill.
You know what? That has its moments. I can't lie.
Dead or Alive.
Wait, Dead, right. Thanks. Ben.
Dead or Alive, it had Holly Valance in it, so.
Yeah. God, the cast in this is just sensational.
See, this adds to my point. You've got to get that basic.
I think you're actually right.
Postal.
No.
Move a ball again.
Fucking hell, he's a cancer on the computer game.
He's like the Orson Welles of
video games. Yeah, he was doing so well before he came along, wasn't it?
Well, he certainly hasn't helped him.
He knocked it out of the ballpark, yeah.
Oh, Hitman.
Oh, there he is.
I'm about ready to cry.
So Resident Evil Extinction. In the name of the king, a dungeon seems
to be. Again!
What's wrong with that man?
You see,
he can really play ball with this.
He gets to make these because he makes them relatively cheaply, and he exercises a German tax loophole so that if the films fail, which they always do, he can claim it as a write-off, a tax write-off.
I love that.
Postal made €146,741.
Some of the video games
are
hard.
How many more of these
are there?
Max Payne.
It certainly was.
Yeah, or How to Ruin a Film that has Matt Wahlberg and Olga Kurylenko in it.
And Mila Kunis.
She's mother of God. And it was one of two, or if not three, films that year where the leading actor did not sleep with Olga Kurylenko because
Quantum of Solace
was another one. And it's really odd. You know, because both of them, because they're both have suffering, like, loss and stuff. So, yeah.
Yes. James Bond as emo. Yeah. Get on with
it. And then, Street Fighter Legend Chun-Li.
No.
I'm not saying
that. Prince Persia. Surprisingly not terrible.
That's the bar. Yeah. That's the bar.
Haven't seen it. Yeah, nothing.
I'm not going to see it.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Gemma Arterton is horrific in it. She is awful.
Oh. Tell us what you really think.
She is awful. I'm a fan of Gemma Arterton, but that is...
Well, yeah.
So, like, video game movies are where Bond girls go to die, right?
Yeah. Resident Evil Afterlife. Resident Evil Retribution.
Just stop Resident Evil, please.
Silent Hill Revelation 3D.
Oh, that is bad.
Need for Speed is the last one. And then Hitman Agent 47. So that brings us up to date. So.
Yeah.
They're almost universally bad.
Need for Speed was the one with Darren Paul, isn't it?
Yes, and...
No, Mr. White! No, not science! Bitch!
And Michael Keaton as the commentator.
Yeah,
what? You didn't know that?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's the commentator.
Of course he hasn't seen it. Like, all the same men. I haven't seen that.
See, you know what? Considering this, Dash and RoboCop must have been the apex of whatever comeback he was doing. Thank God for Birdman. Good grief.
And the other guys, he was good.
I like the other guy.
So, also out this week.
Oh.
Yeah, now that we've killed the all spirits that Philip had, we are your friends, Zac
He's
Efron.
Crying.
Oh, here we go. Saw this last night.
Yes, we did.
Phil, why don't you take this one?
Well, this is the year in which we got two films based around EDM, electronic dance music. This is the latter of the two, the lesser of the two. It's not great. It's not completely abominable.
I like the poster.
It's colourful. Well,
there we go.
I haven't seen the film. So
this is like walking into a bad restaurant and saying, hey, I like the napkins.
I like the menu.
The menu looks good. The font is nice.
What's
good here?
But Yeah, this is Zac. The basic plot is Zac Efron wanting to become a DJ, and that's your lot. After that, it hits so many predictable plot beats that it just annoys.
Emily Ratajkowski.
Yes,
is she any good? Because she has very little to do in Gone Girl, only be pretty. So
in this, she has very little to do except be pretty and be the girlfriend of a kind of mentor character played by Wes Bentley.
She's got a character named Sophie. And
Wes Bentley.
He's the best thing about this.
Yeah, most
he's the best thing about most films.
Yes, which indicates very poor career choices.
The highlight of that man's career, besides American Beauty, is the bit in Ghost Rider when he says, "I'm going to make you my weatch."
No, when he's in Hunger Games, he's actually fantastic.
His beard is amazing.
Yeah,
I like that. It's mostly a beard. His performance
really
is
really creepy, though.
Now, you want to see creepy? Watch We Are Your Friends. Look at his smile. It's intense.
Wes Bentley.
He's the only part of the film that actually seems alive.
Yeah, the rest is window dressing, albeit window dressing set to a pretty happening soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because I'm down
with it. And montage. It navigates a lot by montage.
A lot of montage,
which is really weird when it hits like what's meant to be the emotional nadir of the film. And it's meant to be like this really solemn part that brings the characters down.
Yeah.
Do it via zippy montage.
It would be great if it didn't just come the hell out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Zippy montage, zippy montage, zippy montage. Holy Downer. Heck, where does that come from?
Downer.
And then zippy montage.
Yeah, zippy montage through Downer.
Sounds bad.
It's not completely abhorrent.
Yeah, I mean, it's visual style, if you like visual kind of...
Not completely abhorrent, it's gonna...
Yeah. It has energy.
Three stars.
It has energy to spare.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. And Efron is... Efron has charisma. I don't know if he has acting talent, but he has charisma. And he's carrying this film.
I genuinely believe when he's working the decks that it's using every well-toned muscle in his body to do that.
Oh, and the film emphasises that they are well-toned.
I can't wait for the Baywatch movie.
That's going to be amazing.
Efron is in the Baywatch movie with The Rock.
With The Rock, yeah.
What? There'll be too many muscles rippling. Which part of The Rock am I looking at? It's all toned and muscly.
You know that Baywatch was the most popular TV show in Kazakhstan during the 90s?
Wow.
Apparently it was statistically more popular in shows that didn't have beaches. Make of that what you will. Sociologists say that people like to imagine that's what life would be like if they had a beach.
Life is a beach.
Yeah.
And then it dies.
Yeah.
On to something you may like.
Okay.
Charlotte Rampling. 4 to 5 years.
Can't wait.
Yeah. See, there we
Andrew
go.
Hayes.
And now he perks up.
Yeah, I look forward to this.
I haven't seen Andrew Hayes' previous film.
Weekend is terrific. It's absolutely terrific.
So I've heard.
I really, really
That's
like
That's about the weekend gay romance.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great.
This
is that
get... this got a lot of praise. He won Best Actor for Tom Courtenay and Best Actress for Charlotte Rampling at Berlin earlier in the year.
It's opening the IFA.
Peter Bradshaw gave 5 stars.
It's not the only 5-star review around. I haven't seen it yet, but
In fairness, Peter Bradshaw did he not give 5 stars to Mistress America?
Yes, he did.
So,
he's not the only one that did, though. In fairness, though,
no, they're all wrong. Though.
Of course, they're all wrong. But he's not the only one.
Anyway, back to 45 years, which sees Rampling and Courtney play a couple who are about to celebrate their 45th wedding anniversary when he receives a letter to confirm that a woman that he was in love with, his girlfriend from 50 years ago, who was lost in a mountaineering accident, her body has been found after all this time. And now they're facing this new dynamic.
It stirs it up.
Yeah. But it poses questions. Can you be jealous of a memory? Can you hate somebody who's interloping even though they're dead?
Yeah.
And what could something like that do to marriage?
This is more my stuff. None of your superhero computer game movies. Give me this. I'll check misery in marriage.
And also,
what it needs is a zippy Zac Efron soundtrack.
Yeah. And also, she's great.
I'll be there. I'll be definitely seeing her.
Yeah, I'm going to see that this weekend as well. I must check out Weekend
also
as well.
Also strictly in Phillips wheelhouse is Michelangelo Antonioni's Le Fils, which is reopening in the IFA.
Oh, well, Antonioni for one thing. It also stars Monica Vitti, who is one of the most beautiful women who ever lived. And for the ladies, Alain Delon.
And for Jason, the last part of a loose trilogy on alienation, malaise and ennui.
Hey, we've all been there.
Those are some sexy themes.
Yes, they are.
Damn sexy themes.
Anyway, that's Lecleese.
Yep. Lecleese. It's a classic, so yeah.
I'm going to have to go see that as well.
Not likely to be a classic is also up in the IFI, and Philip is, and myself have seen this, and it is becking off.
A punch in the wall, Philip. What is it?
Miss Julie.
Oh, Lord, this
the film
stinker.
Is missed. The Tribe to see.
Yeah.
This
set
in I saw the Tribe already,
already,
but
yeah.
There's some good shade in Friday.
Oh, this is
you're damn right.
This is of course based on August Strindberg's classic play of a power play based around sexual and class politics. Okay, you've got
for a minute.
Yeah, you've got
what
that hotbed of.
It was originally set in Sweden.
Yeah, but originally set in Sweden on a Midsummer's Night. It makes sense because it never goes dark in it, right? In Fermanagh, it does go dark.
I've heard this rumor, but
I've never been to Fermanagh.
But look at it this way.
It exists.
Right, look at it this way. Great source material. Three fine actors in your three main roles.
Yes, absolutely.
Jessica Chastain, Conor Farrell, Samantha Morton.
Yeah, that's it. That is a good cast.
Great cast.
Great cast.
Yeah. Great script. Fine, meaty themes. Absolutely killed by the deathly dull direction of Liv Ullmann.
And the fact that it's over 2 hours long.
It does nothing to adapt the play for the screen. It just played out like a filmed play. And it feels like death.
It's so weird.
And it just drags and drags. And you can see Chastain and Farrell, they're trying so hard to make this come alive, and it's nothing. And then in comes this frequently replayed Schubert piece, and you just want it to stop.
It makes no concessions for the fact that it moved territories either, because that thing about Midsummer Nights is a problem. But the other thing is, it's set in Fermanagh. And I will come back to this.
You're really insisting on this. That's important, leader.
This is Northern Ireland, right? So this is... And this is Northern Ireland, what? 1890. Yeah. So, the politics of that particular time is that these are... She's likely to be Protestant landlord, right?
Yeah.
He's likely to be
Catholic serf.
They, according to the script, saw one another at church.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. No, that's not possible.
There are a lot of those. I suppose
that,
if a film is not good, those things stand out a mile.
It's that kind of thing, though, where they didn't even bother to try and make
basic
it
research.
Fit. Because I saw it at the shop. It didn't have to be the church.
And thus begins Niall's long career as script doctor.
And the worst part is,
I was so bored
while watching it that this was it. These were the things I was able to think about.
It is deathly dull.
It's so boring.
Isn't this the thing though? Plot holes and problems with films are exacerbated by dullness.
Yeah.
If a film, like, you'll forgive films a lot if they're good.
Yeah.
If they're entertaining.
Yeah. This is essentially the difference for me between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. It's why people picked apart the Dark Knight really so much, because they didn't particularly like the film, so the problems were exacerbated.
Yeah,
whereas Dark Knight probably has similar issues.
Yeah.
Not nearly as many, but people forgive it because they like it a lot more.
But I think it's also the rise of internet culture as well. It makes it easier to...
Things get picked apart.
Yeah. And it's seen as cool and hip and trendy. And
that's only for the young
people.
They don't know anything.
Yeah. They're like going to see Hitman this weekend.
I wanted to like Miss Julie for all the reasons, for the cast, the fact that he is Irish and all the rest, but it's not. It's terrible.
Anything to like about it is down on the cast.
I just disappointing, because I imagine it cost a little bit. Like, I mean, you know...
Those three wouldn't come cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. All I know is it's...
It's his film board money.
It's snooze.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, so avoid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Avoid it.
I was going to anyway.
Well,
I remember February meeting you guys for the quiz and listening to you about it.
Oh, man.
Film of the week to end... Straight Out of Compton.
That did phenomenally in the States.
Like 60 million
also
a weekend. Hitting the 20 year after the thing happened.
It's weird to have 90s nostalgia.
I've only seen the trailer for it, and whilst it does look good, it looks a bit
biopic-y.
Beats, if you will. It's the Beats, right? But the other thing is, Giamatti looks like the whole White Savior role, which looks a little...
But you don't know. You
I hope it. Not. You know, that's okay. I'm just saying, in terms of trailers, as generically as possible, so that's fine.
You know the story behind it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I think they deal with that, though.
I hope so.
Yeah. So, although they do gloss, apparently they glossed over some others. Yeah.
So as for those who are unfamiliar with it, Estrella Compton is the story of NWA and the formation of the band and their success out of...
And their eventual fall.
Yeah, and their eventual fall. Compton, which is one of the roughest neighborhoods in LA in the US. So, Ice Cube's son plays Ice Cube, which is
and looks really like him.
Yeah. Yeah. Really like creepy. Isn't
yeah,
it is. Yeah, it's a creepy
it's like Ice Cube.
Makes sense.
One of the things about it is that NWA are involved in the production of it, and Dr. Dre came out, of course, with an album to coincide with the release and all the rest. So the marketing for it is not.
Yeah, and it's Universal again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus, they just can't stop making money. It's like more money, bring it all in. Harvest time. Just cut it all down. Cut all the money trees down.
We didn't think this would do quite that well, but there you go.
Danny went to see it. He has a four and a half star review.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Yeah, very strong.
So that's the film.
That's strong language.
Perhaps that's it.
Daniel, the last film.
Will that be straight out to number one?
I imagine.
Oh, I'm straight out of patience with you now.
The last film of the week is only opening in Galway this week, is On Klondike, the Irish language drama.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's because it's set over there, and it's going to be shown on TG Cahir.
In a TV form.
In its TV form. So similar to On Brussels last year.
And a qualified run at Best Foreign Film.
Yes, it's...
Which is good.
Exactly, so it'll be put
this
forward
is,
for...
This is good. This should happen every year.
For consideration for Oscars.
You were arguing Irish language cinema is where we should be going.
Certainly, there should be money set aside for at least one decent-sized production every year, I would imagine. So we can actually have a film.
That we can
and if one hits a sweet spot of really doing well, it might even get into the talk of the thing. Yeah, you know, that can only be good.
So On Klondike is based around three brothers. It's a Western, entirely filmed in Ireland, which
sounds
is...
good. I'm looking forward to it.
A literal Western.
Yeah, and so the three Irish emigrants travelled from Montana to the Yukon as part of the Klondike Gold Rush in the 1890s.
I just have images of Ian McShane perfecting his Irish. Fortrick of fucking Deadwood! I'd watch that.
So would I.
The Cron Mara.
On Cron Mara!
T.G. Carr.
Sue Lella.
Yeah. They used to show Deadwood. I know they did The Sopranos and
they did
Oz.
Did
I remember T.G. Carr was great for the HBO drama.
Yeah, he showed The Wire before everybody else did as
which was phenomenal. Like, I don't think T.G. Four get enough.
Oh, they're great. They're really good.
They're
it's the best RT channel. I would argue.
It's not an RT channel.
Well, isn't it?
No. It's partially funded by the license fee.
I thought
it's not an RT channel.
Oh, okay.
They're wise.
And perhaps it's the better.
I would imagine so.
So
we love you, RT.
We don't.
On that note, we'll leave it for the week.
Very good.
Excellent. Bye.